I wonder if I were to ask you, we're going to start a new series today. I'm just kind of introducing it. And the series is just called The Voice. There is no appearance by Tom Jones or Paloma Faith or whoever anybody else, whoever she is. I just know the name. we're going to be thinking about a series up to Easter on the voice of God. And again, I think, and we think as leaders, this is really, really important because, as I've just said, in an active church, we always want that activity to be being directed by God's word to us. It's very easy to come up with lots of good ideas and lots of good projects. But unless, as the psalm says, the Lord is building the house, those of us that labor in vain. So as a church, but also as individuals in our daily lives, the things we do, the decisions we make, the relationships we form, the habits we create, the way we live, the way we spend, what voice is directing our daily life as an individual, as a person? And so hearing the voice of God is one of the most important things about being a Christian. Otherwise, what are we responding to? If it's not God speaking to us, then what voice? And there are enough voices trying to shape our lives. Voices from our past, voices from our parents, voices from our culture, voices from the media. There are enough people that want to get hold of our lives and say, live like this. And yet, the Bible gives us the belief and the confidence that there is a voice that wants to speak into our lives personally and to shape and direct it. It's a trustable voice, it's a loving voice, it's a caring voice, it's the voice of God. And so we want to give some time over these next few weeks to consider that from a number of different angles. How do we hear the voice of God? And how do we know it's the voice of God? I wonder if I asked you, and I'm not going to do this, so don't get any anxiety swell up so early in the new year. But I wonder if I were to ask you to turn to the person next to you and say, what was the last thing that God said to me? How easy you'd find that. When was the last time you could say, well, God said this to me. God spoke to me in this way. Some of us would find that very easy and it would just come straight to our minds. Others of us might struggle a bit to say, well, actually, I'm not sure that God does speak to me. Or he did speak to me, and 30 years ago, it changed my life. But recently, I'm not so sure. And over Christmas? Come off it, David. There's been too many things on TV for God to speak to me. When was the last time? It can be a hard question. And yet the simple point I want to make this morning, and you know me, I make a simple point, but I make a big meal of it. But the simple point is, I'll get it in first so that you know what it is, should you fall asleep in the rest of it. Are those two words on the screen? That it's both possible to hear the voice of God, and it comes as a personal word to each of us. It's not the job of those of us that are paid by the church to sit around all week thinking, what's God saying, and then delivering it. That is one aspect of our role, maybe. But that's not to replace the privilege that everybody has to have this personal, conversational relationship with God. Some of you look like that's about as appetizing as Christmas turkey for lunch today. Here's a story from the Bible, from the Old Testament. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Marmites, Hivites, and Jebusites. That was just to check you were still listening. Okay, you are. Incidentally, at that point, I think Moses must have thought this was really good news. God is going to deliver my people. Fantastic. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Ceases to seem such an attractive proposition that God has decided to set his people free. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it's I who sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Now, there's so much in that little encounter early in the book of Exodus where Moses meets with God. But in terms of our theme of hearing the voice of God, it's clearly a very rich place to think for a few minutes, because the voice of God is all over that little story. And the first point I want to make is that here at the burning bush, Moses encounters something that for God is very ordinary. It was exceptional for Moses. It was exceptional for any human being to encounter God in that way. But for God, this is very, very ordinary. God is a speaking God. The Bible starts with God speaking and ends with God speaking, and he speaks all the way through. Now, there is a view that because God has spoken into the Bible, that's enough. Like God had this really talkative phase that finished 2,000 years ago, and he's kind of got over that now, and he's kind of wore out his larynx a little bit, so he's had to rest now, but he's got it all written down, so we needn't worry anymore, because we can hear God speak through what he said, which is, of course, true and important, but it's not sufficient. Because the very book that we call sometimes the Word of God alerts us to the fact that God seeks personal relationship with ordinary people, and part of that relationship is he talks to them. He speaks to them. A personal relationship. Some of you are in personal relationships. Some of you are like me, miserable old Grinches, and you've got no friends at all. But some of you have got friends, and some of you are married, and you know what it is to build relationship. And you know that if you're in a relationship with someone, part of that, in fact, most relationship counselors would say the most important part of a relationship is communication. When communication stops, usually it's a sign that the relationship is in some degree of trouble. One of the ways of exerting influence in a negative way in the relationship is to stonewall, is just to clam up, to shut up, to refuse to engage. God doesn't want that kind of relationship with us. The Bible is full of the view that God wants a personal relationship with us. This is the point, almost, of becoming a Christian. There are many points to being a Christian. You can say, well, it's because I need to get my past forgiven. True, excellent. It's because I want hope for the future. True, excellent. It's because I want to have a fuller life now. True, excellent. But those things are not the goal of being a Christian. The goal of being a Christian is to know God personally. That's what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. He said, Father, I pray that they're one like you and I are one. I came to give them eternal life, and this is eternal life, that they might know you and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Not know about, but know. A personal relationship. How is your personal relationship with God? Measure it by the level of communication. Not how much you talk to him, but how much you're aware of him talking to you. It's interesting, isn't it, that when you say that I talk to God a lot, they call you a very prayerful person. When you say God talks to me a lot, they call you psychotic. This kind of something which we're kind of a bit nervous even of the language that God spoke to me. God said this to me. And maybe you've met Christians and they've just reinforced that image when they've talked like that. But this should be normal. This should be ordinary. This should be everyday experience. Notice in this passage how often, just in this passage, God talks. God called from the bush. Don't come any closer. God said, he said, I'm the God of your father. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people. I said, I'll be with you. God said to Moses, I am who I am. God also said to Moses, God said, God said, God said. If you read the book of Exodus, in fact, it's one of the most common phrases. God said, God spoke. At that critical moment in history when he set his people free, it was birthed in the word of God directing at every point. Moses paying attention to what God was saying. God is a speaking God. It's the ordinary practice of the God whom we love and serve. I mean, here's Moses, an ordinary person. You remember Moses' story? I mean, he is a therapist's dream. He deserved to be in lifelong therapy. Born into a troubled family, given up by his birth parents, adopted into a royal palace, given back to his birth parents. Who was he? Was he Hebrew? Was he Egyptian? Was he royalty? Was he a slave? Who was he? And he grew up with this kind of dual affinity to the Hebrews, to the Egyptians. He didn't quite know where he belonged until one day he saw one of his own people, a Hebrew, being abused by an Egyptian, and he murdered the Egyptian. He was so cross at what was happening. And then he forfeited all of his dual birthrights and ran away for fear. Because the Hebrews turned against him. He said, what are you doing? Who do you think you are speaking up for us? You were brought up in the palace. What do you know about being a slave? And he was just lost. He was a nobody. He was confused. He didn't know what his identity was. He was a murderer. He was on the run. And he'd given up everything and gone to be a shepherd for his father-in-law. How low can you get? With all due apologies to father-in-laws and shepherds in the room. He was a hurting, lost person. Did he need a counselor? Who am I? Who was I? What have I lost? What have I given up? I am a nobody. If there was anybody, I suspect, on the face of the planet who Moses thought God would turn up to and said, go and set my people free. This is the most important job for anybody on the planet at this point in time, and it's your job. Moses would have said, well, in fact, he did say, didn't he? No way, Yahweh. Yeah, I just made that up. That was rather good, wasn't it? Okay. No way could it be me. God couldn't speak to me. Don't you know who I am? I don't know who I am. I have no idea who I am. Am I a prince? Am I a slave? Am I a murderer? Am I a shepherd? Who am I? I've lost my sense of identity. I've lost my sense of vocation. I've got no dignity. I'm just willing to put up with the rest of life, bumbling along, looking after these sheep. And yet God knew exactly who he was, and God knew exactly where he was, and God knew exactly what he was capable of. And God came and spoke to him. Moses had all the excuses in the book. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I, we might say, that God should speak to me? I'm not a leader. I haven't even been a Christian very long. I've mucked up in my life. I've no idea who I am. I've lost so much. I've been burnt by life. Who am I? God knows who you are. God knows where you are. And God knows what you're capable of. And he wants to speak into your life. Moses said to God, suppose I go. What then? Who should I say? I'm clueless. I don't know how to handle this project of responding to your voice. What if they don't believe me? He had all the excuses in the book. And the last one just sums it all up when you get only to chapter 4. Pardon your servant, Lord, but please send someone else. I've run out of excuses, but I just know I'm not the right person. And maybe this is all some kind of weird dream that will dissipate tomorrow. I don't want to give my life to this thing. And yet the voice had spoken. And when the voice speaks, stuff happens. One of the things that always happens throughout Scripture when God speaks is that life changes From the beginning of Genesis 1, when God speaks and things are created out of his speaking, through to the time when he spoke his definitive word by giving his son, the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus coming to embody what God wants to say to us. In case we didn't understand the voice, we can now see the voice walking amongst us, caring, loving, teaching, rebuking. We can see what it looks like when God speaks because his word has taken flesh and walked about and shown itself as a visual aid, as it were, speaking into our lives and our community and our world. God spoke clearly. And he still speaks through that same word today to ordinary people. When God's word came in the form of a human being, Jesus, it came to the most ordinary, down and out, lost, helpless, hopeless people. The voice spoke into communities that were without hope, without respect, without status. That's precisely where God wants to speak. And if we want to respond to the voice of God, then don't come up with a whole load of Moses-like excuses. Who am I? Let somebody better do it. You don't know my past. You don't know how ill-equipped I am. I don't even know who I am. The voice of God wants to speak to us personally. It's possible and it's personal. And it should be exciting. I'm obviously not doing a very good job of making it sound here, but look at your faces. Final point. It may be God's ordinary practice. It may be very ordinary people that receive the voice. But the voice has extraordinary potential to change. Moses' encounter with the voice of God was an encounter that sent him into the most incredible, incredible set of experiences in life. So that we, thousands of years later, are still talking about him. I wonder if the burning bush hadn't happened, how much of Moses' life we might still be reflecting on today. If the voice hadn't taken hold of him and pushed him in a new direction. So now I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. See, there is a kind of view today, I don't know if you've heard the language used a lot, this idea of spirituality. This kind of idea that it's good to be a spiritual person. And I suppose in truth, it is. But what we're talking about here in God speaking to us is not so that we feel more spiritual or somehow slightly superior to the other Christians who maybe don't hear God speak, whoever they might be. The idea is not to somehow think, actually, now I'm a better Christian or a better quality Christian. Or actually, I feel better about myself because God's spoken to me. The warning, the health warning I need to put on this series is that when God speaks, it could well revolutionize your life if you're willing to listen and respond to the voice. I'm not sure I want that. 2016, I'd like it to be just the same as last year. I quite like looking after my father-in-law's sheep. The last thing I want to do is to go off on some radical adventure with God. Well, you have to make that choice yourself if that's what you're thinking. But the truth is that the word of God comes to get done what God wants done. When God speaks, it's because he wants to motivate, to animate, to empower, to release. It's because he wants to change things, not just so that we feel more spiritual, but actually so that we become more fruitful. It's a word that sends us. Here's a quote from a book by a lady called Paula Gooder, who some of you may have read before. For many people today, she writes, the purpose of encountering God is their own spiritual journey. For the biblical writers, the purpose of encountering God is mission, by which I mean being sent out to do God's will in the world. People who desire a lively spiritual life should expect a lively life of mission. You can't have one without the other. And that's my heart, and I think, I hope, our hearts for this church and for this series. It's not that somehow now we've moved up some kind of spiritual scale. It's actually that we've become more useful in God's hands. We're more clear. Jesus said, didn't he? I only say what I hear the Father say. Now, wouldn't that be great to get to the end of 2016, or even to the end of today, or even for me to get to the end of this talk? And yet, for Jesus, that was the way he did mission. You know, sometimes some of you know that I teach leadership and mission courses and things, and I've got endless books about strategies and how you do it and how you think about it. And sometimes the discussion is, what was Jesus' mission strategy? Well, in as much as there was one, my answer is, this is it. I pay close attention to what the Father's saying, and then I put into practice what he just told me to do. There is no grand design, no great strategy that's going to see Thornbury saved, but what might see people's lives touched is more and more of us hearing the voice of God and putting into practice what God has just told us to do. It might be a small thing. Talk to that person across the other side of Hawke's house. Take a cake round your next door neighbour. Do that job for someone for free rather than charge them. Who knows what it might be? I'm not God, I'm not going to tell you. But those are the qualities of things that God might say to us. Like he said to his son, heal 10 lepers. They won't be grateful, but do it anyway. Just go and live this life with God speaking and you responding and see what happens. That's why we're thinking about the voice. Because we want to pay attention to what God is saying, because we believe that word is the hope for our friends and neighbors and colleagues. If we pay attention to it and respond to it. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand how you speak, why you speak, when you speak, what your voice sounds like. And I pray, Lord, as individuals here, but also as church in this place, that you would enable us to hear your voice. Lord, I certainly don't want to rush into another year just doing the same old stuff because that's what's on my agenda. I want to hear your voice constantly helping me assess and weigh and direct what I'm doing with my life. And I pray, Lord, that many of us here would catch that heart, that dream too, of wanting to pay attention to the voice of God. It's possible and it's personal and it has great potential for us and for others. So Lord, I pray during this season, speak to us. Make us sensitive to your voice. Awake the faculties within us that respond and are aware of your speaking. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And when we hear, Lord, give us the capacity and the courage to obey. I pray in your name and for your sake. Amen.